Well, my precious heart dwellers, the Lord gave me a message tonight that began as really something I was going to write to help some people out of a very difficult trial. And as I was beginning to write about it, he cut in and he started talking. So I'm going to go ahead and share with you how this all happened. I began by saying everything has an order ordained by God, upheld by God, from rulers to ministers to street workers who repair the water supply for a city. And at that point, I was seeing men working in a manhole. And then Jesus began to speak, and he said, each of them has a mandate from me to carry out certain tasks. Each of them has been trained by me and found competent to function in their calling. The greater the calling, the longer the training, and the deeper one must be cleansed. Imperfection in the foundation of a building 30 stories high spells disaster, whereas imperfections in the foundation of a building only 20 feet high may never have an effect. So for the taller buildings, the preparation must be made meticulously, so the building will last and not give way to killing all the inhabitants. And so it is with my ministers. The gifts must be harnessed and used to pull the carriage forward at a steady yet safe pace. If the horses are not well trained under the harness, they will lunge, buck, take off, running wildly, darting through trees, and destroy the carriage and themselves. And so the discipline and preparation for ministry can be arduous and long. My servants, truly, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. My gifts are nothing to be toyed with or treated lightly. There is a way to operate in my gifts and a way not to operate in them, lest they do more harm than good. Having the gift is only the beginning. Then you must be trained in how to use that tool, just as a surgeon goes through many hours of training on how to perform surgery. So my spiritual surgeons must undergo many, many hours of formation, and sometimes very personal formation. You do not rush in with a scalpel and begin directing the surgery team on how to perform the surgery when you haven't even been through your first year of pre-med training. So it is with my gifts. There is a protocol, a preparation, training, character formation, where discretion becomes a prized entity. Discretion not only preserves the patient, but knows where and when to apply the medicine, how much, how little, working in tandem with other disciplines to bring a patient to perfect health. I wish for you all to operate in the greatest gifts, but understand when you come to serve me, prepare yourself to undergo many hardships. You will not understand why certain things will be done or not done with you until you are near the end of your training. Then you will be able to look back and see why that time of trial was so very necessary to you. The gifts in the wrong hands, or the hands of those who are untrained, is a disaster waiting to happen. There are yet many layers of lessons the surgeon must learn. How to diagnose the healthy tissue from the diseased tissue, how much to take out and how much to leave, what effect taking this out will have on the other parts of the body system, how to anesthetize the patient, how to prepare them for surgery, how to make them cooperate during the healing process, what complications can set in, what infections can overtake the body and kill it, despite a successful surgery. You see, working with souls is no different. There are many layers to their growth. Each one must be laid down meticulously, and one who doctors souls must be trained as well as one who doctors bodies. Each person carries a different anointing. A hospital administrator's anointing is different from a cook's, from a nurse's, from the maintenance and security staff, from the surgeons and trauma staff. Each have been trained and attained a degree of responsibility in their area of expertise, and that's why they are appointed to be responsible for what goes on beneath them. A cook does not tell a nurse how to administer medication. An administrator does not tell a surgeon how to operate. An anesthesiologist does not tell the maintenance man how to get the floors clean. Nor do the maintenance staff tell him how to administer medication. And so it is in my kingdom. Everyone has an appointed task. Everyone has an area of expertise. And when all honor the position of each other, my kingdom comes, my will is done. When change needs to be made, I send my representatives to approach the department head and give the message. They are not responsible for how the message is implemented or even if it is implemented. That is my job. Conviction is my appointment. I do not force anyone to take my advice and use it. I simply offer it and allow the person qualified for the job to make the right decision on how to use it. Just so with my prophets and ministers. They may be given a message, but they have been trained to present it without constraints or force. There is an art to this. That is why it takes many years of training to prepare one who advises department heads. There's a right way and a wrong way. The message is so important that if it's done the wrong way, the messenger is responsible for the failure of that message to be heeded. One must be a follower before they can lead. They must be tested in temperance, patience, respect, decorum, and presentation before I can trust them with the bigger tasks. I am preeminently respectful of those in positions of authority and responsibility. I take their office very seriously. If they do not come to me for advice, I stand back and watch. If they seek me out, I offer suggestions, but never in a way that disrespects their office. Never forcefully, never presuming to have only the right answer, or saying, God showed me this is the way to run your department, or this is the way you should minister, God told me to tell you. That administrator has been listening to me for a very long time, and they know my voice. Another they will not follow. If your suggestion is from me and given in the proper way, I will open the ears of the hearer without such announcements as God told me to tell you, or God said to it this way, or God showed me what was wrong with your department. These are lessons the messengers of God must learn if they are to be trusted with greater assignments. Your motive may be right, your understanding right, but if done in the wrong way, what you do will be wrong. My people, you see only in part. You hear only in part. You are all open to clever deceptions. Not a one of you has been perfect in your hearing. And if you come to serve me, you will not operate in presumption and rush in where angels fear to tread. Rather, you will walk lightly and be very cautious about what you hear and how you tell others about it, not presuming for one moment that you know better or have been shown better. Rather, in fear and trembling, speaking for me You will gently offer the word, knowing full well that you have been mistaken before and could be again. And for you to give advice in my name when you are mistaken is a grave, grave thing. Let not many of you be teachers, my brothers, knowing that we will receive heavier judgment. That's James 3. In speaking of requirements for overseers, he must not be a recent convert or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil, which was pride, by the way. That's 1 Timothy 3. An overseer is one who advises department heads of the wisdom I impart to him. Though he come in my authority, never does he say, "This is what God told me to tell you to do." Rather, he offers up the word of truth in all humility, and that servant, knowing my voice, will take it to heart. But this is the task of overseers, not recent converts. People who rush to tell a pastor what to do and are still very young in the Lord are immature in their character formation. They will meet with scorn and contempt, and rightly so. The pastor knows my voice, and another he will not follow. And the pastor also knows how I operate. Though you've done your best to hear me, if you do not understand how naked, fallible, and empty you are before me, you will not present it in such a manner that reflects my humility. Many times I show you things to pray for and not declare openly to others. A novice is eager to show the world that he hears from me and share sublime things that I would prefer he kept for us alone. And for this reason, I soon remain silent in his presence. A wise man is careful in his speech, not to cause offense, and more often is silent. And this man I can freely converse with. When you are trusted with great treasure, you do not run about exposing it to the thieves, who will come and murder you in your sleep and steal it. Just so, the demons watch and wait for the slip of a tongue, plotting how best to entrap you and bring you into disrepute. And so, my children, the greater the mysteries I reveal to you, the greater the discretion you must have, the more humble you must become, understanding that they are only on loan to you, and at any moment I could return you to your former ignorance. And at times, that is exactly what I will do. I will withhold the former things from you, that you learn the virtues of discretion and humility. I do this because I love you and have great things in store for you, not to punish you, but to form. And that was the end of his message. And then I really felt this scripture on my heart from Hebrews 12. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Boy, that's the truth. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. That's Hebrews 12. And, you know, as I just finished the scripture, I looked at this. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. And that's exactly what the Lord is talking about here. He's sending out his messengers to heal. But if our paths aren't level, we're not going to be able to heal the lame. Rather, they'll continue to be lame and disabled. So make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. So that those who are already crippled and we've been sent to minister to will be healed. God bless you, heart dwellers. I hope this throws some light on different aspects of ministry for you. Everything that the Lord has said tonight, I have been through in spades. So I can testify that not only in the past, but even every day, there's an opportunity for being fine-tuned, and he's doing it. Hope this helps.